take your Bible this morning and turn to the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk chapter 1. We're going to consider this question this morning: is God fair? Has we ever had something happen in our life that we respond and we say, that's just not fair? You know, as I was watching the children's message and those kids building their Lego blocks, and when Don asked the question, you know, who said it was a competition, I was like, well, isn't everything a competition? I just assumed it was a competition. And I was looking at Kai with those little flat blocks and Caleb. And I was thinking, if I were Caleb, I'd really be taking advantage of this because I want to win. And then I found out it wasn't even a competition. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. Then why are we doing that? But, you know, life is frequently unfair. You know, those of us that have raised children, how many times have we had our kids and we say, they complain about something and we just say, well, life's just not fair. And that's an answer a lot. I coach a lot of sports teams, and there'll be times I'll have a kid come out of the game and he'll be complaining because a referee did something. And he'll say, it's not fair. And I always say, well, look, life isn't fair. But saying that life isn't fair is a whole lot different from saying that God is not fair. See, I can live with life being unfair. After all, I'm a sinner, and I live in a world that's been affected by sin. And you know, and I hang out with a bunch of other, well, you know, sinners, right? And so, obviously, life is going to be unfair. It makes sense that life is unfair. But when we ask that question, is God fair? That's a very different question. In the first part of Habakkuk, he was struggling with the problems of evil in the world. And now in this passage, he's struggling with the problem of God's justice. When he was confronted with the problems of evil, Habakkuk asks, he says, God, do you care? With all this evil around me, God, do you really care? And in today's passage, he's confronted with God's judgment of sin. And so he asks a new question. He says, is God fair? Two of the biggest questions that people ask about God are, how can a loving God allow evil in the world? And then they ask the question, how can a loving God punish people for their sin? And this is kind of the equivalent of, does God care and is God fair? Well, God is a loving God who does care that there's evil in the world, and he cares. And the reason that we know that God cares about evil in the world is because he does judge evil and he does judge sin. God is both a loving and a just God. And Habakkuk is in a situation here that's is a little bit different because he's not questioning whether or not God has a right to judge sin. What he's doing, he's questioning God's method. He wants to know how God can use these Chaldeans to judge the people of Judah. He seeks to read this passage. These Chaldeans, they were even more wicked than the people of Judah. So as we looked at last week, we look at Habakkuk, and he's looking around his nation, the people around him, and he's saying, God, how can there be all this wickedness? Do you even care? And then God says, yeah, I do care, and I'm going to send the Chaldeans to come, and they're going to destroy you. And now Habakkuk's now, wait a minute. Why would you send people worse off than we are, worse sinners than us, to come and to judge us? How is that fair? And so as we look at this passage this morning, look at Habakkuk's complaint, and we're going to look at the complaint he has here to God, and we're going to listen here this morning to God's response to Habakkuk's complaint. So in Habakkuk chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, we read these words. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We will not die. You, O Lord, have appointed them to judge, and you, O Rock, have established them to correct. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they? Why have you made men like the fish of the sea, like creeping things without a ruler over them? The Chaldeans bring all of them up with a hook and drag them away with their net and gather them together in their fishing net. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. Therefore, they offer a sacrifice to the net, a burnt incense to their fishing net, because through these things their catch is large and their food is plentiful. Will they therefore empty their net and continually slay nations without sparing? I will stand on my guard post and station myself at the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets. that the one who reads it may run, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fall. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by faith. So as we consider Habakkuk's complaint, how can God use the Chaldeans to punish the people of Judah? There are three things that Habakkuk is absolutely convinced of, and yet he cannot see how all these things can be true at the same time. The first thing that Habakkuk is convinced of here is that God is sovereign, that God possesses complete and ultimate power. See, Habakkuk, he believes that God is sovereign over the people of Israel. And in verse 12, it draws attention to God being everlasting and that Israel would not die. See, God is everlasting. God is the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. And God never changes. He is the same yesterday. He's the same today. And he is the same forever. He will always be the same. And this God who is always the same, he has bound himself to Israel through a covenant relationship. He has said, these are my people, and he's entered this relationship with him. And Habakkuk is absolutely convinced that even if God brings judgment on the people for their sins, that he would not completely destroy them. Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah 30, he says, though I completely destroy all the nations among which I scatter you, I will not completely destroy you. I will discipline you, but only with justice. I will not let you go entirely unpunished. And so as God enters this covenant relationship with Israel, he's going to fulfill his covenant. And for the record, that hasn't happened yet. That God has not completely fulfilled that covenant relationship with Israel. And we get to the book of Revelation and we see what's happening in the end times. We're going to see God fulfilling that covenant. And so Habakkuk here, he's convinced that God is going to do what God said. And he's also convinced that just as God is sovereign over the nation of Israel, that he's also sovereign over the other nations as well. At the end of verse 12, he says, you, O Lord, have appointed them to judge, and you, O Rock, have established them to correct. So Habakkuk has just been told by God that God was sending these Chaldeans to judge the people of Judah. And Habakkuk has no doubt that that's exactly what God's going to do. If God says he's going to do it, and he can direct that he's going to happen. And Habakkuk knows that neither Judah nor the Chaldeans, neither one of them are outside of God's control. And so his second thing he's convinced of is that God is holy, and he cannot tolerate wrong. And we see this in the very first part of verse 13. It says, your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on the wickedness with favor. One of the great teachings of Scripture is that God is absolutely holy and absolutely pure. In 1 John 5, it tells us that God is light and there is no darkness at all. God is perfectly holy. God is righteous and he is pure. No evil, no sin, no darkness in him at all. And Habakkuk says, not only is there no darkness or sin in God, he says that God's eyes are too pure to even look and see evil. And this doesn't mean that God ignores evil. Some who struggle with this, they think, well, this means that God can't see evil, so he's just taking his eyes off the evil of the world and allows it to exist as they show this fairness of God. But that's not really what he's saying here. And then we look at this idea of sin. Sin is an interesting thing. We talk about evil and things of the world is an interesting thing, because what happens is we look at the sin of the world and sometimes we're horrified. And sometimes we're disgusted by the sin that we see. And we look at what people do in our world today and we say, man, how can that happen? How can this be? How can people do such horrific things? And then at the same time, we do this. I like that sin. That's tempting. I might want to have a little bit of that sin, because that sin isn't nearly as bad as other sin. And so what happens is, in one sense, we're horrified at sin, and the other sense, we are clinging to sin and drawn to sin and tempted by sin. And this passage that talks about who God is, we see that the God has only one reaction to sin. No matter what level that sin is, he is offended by sin. God cannot tolerate what is wrong, And God is holy. And it's this fact of God's holiness that prompts these questions from Habakkuk. He wants to know why God seemingly deals favorably with those who are practicing evil. He sees these Chaldeans and they seem like they're thriving, and Habakkuk can't understand why God seems to be dealing favorably with them. Why is he silent when the ones who are evil seem to be winning against the ones that are less evil? And if we look around our world, I'm going to guess that many of us have wondered that same thing. God, how can we see those that are evil? How can it appear that they're winning, that they're succeeding, and yet there are those that are much better, and they seem to be struggling? And Habakkuk, he knows that God is sovereign over the nations, and he knows that God is holy, and he knows that God cannot tolerate what is wrong. And there's a third thing that he's convinced of is this, that the Chaldeans are wicked and they're prospering. He's looking what they're doing, and he describes the Chaldeans in verse 14 through 17. He gives this image of a fisherman, and he says, "Why have you made men like the fish of the sea, like creeping things without a ruler over them? The Chaldeans bring all of them up with a hook and drag them away with their net and gather them together in their fishing net. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they offer sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their fishing net, because through these things their catch is large and their food is plentiful. Will they therefore empty their net and continually slay nations without sparing?" He uses this picture of this fisherman, and all the nations around the Chaldeans are helpless fish in the sea. And these fishermen, they're violent and they're cruel, and they're pulling the people of the nations with hooks, and they're dragging them away in their nets. And as they're doing this, they are delighting in the misery of the people they are conquering. This is, they rejoice and are glad over those that they capture. And if we think that phrase, rejoice and glad, most of the time in Scripture, we see rejoice and be glad. It's usually used in worshiping of God of the Bible. And in this passage here, we see Habakkuk using it to describe the Chaldeans who are worshiping themselves, their own power and their own success. And it says in this passage that God is the one who raised the Chaldeans up. He is the one who has given the Chaldeans their power and strength. And yet they don't even acknowledge who God is. They don't care about God. They don't see God's role in any of this. Instead, all they are doing is worshiping themselves. They are enjoying the pleasure at the expense of the ones that they conquer. And Habakkuk says, I don't see any end to this. Who's going to stop them? It seems that no one can stand up to them. And he says, will the Chaldeans continually empty the nets and destroy the nations without mercy? And do we see the struggle that Habakkuk is having here? And maybe the struggle sometimes that we have as we look at who God is. See, if God were not sovereign, then God could not stop the Chaldeans, and then their success wouldn't raise any questions. If God weren't sovereign, if he had no control, then that would be okay. If God were not holy, if God were not holy, he wouldn't care that the Chaldeans were wicked, and so that removed the questions. If the Chaldeans were good and prosperous, that would be okay. If they were wicked and suffering, that would be okay. But Habakkuk, he can't reconcile how these Chaldeans could be wicked and prospering, and how that goes together with the sovereign God who hates evil. The problem for Habakkuk is that he sees these three things, and they all exist at the same time. He knows God is sovereign. He knows that God is holy. And yet he knows the Chaldeans are wicked. And he sees them prospering, and it doesn't make any sense. He doesn't understand. And he's questioning God's justice, and he's wondering, God, are you fair? How is this fair? And so he raises these questions. And then in our chapter 2, verse 1, we see that he waits. It says, I will stand at my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch and see what he will speak to me and how I may reply to him when I am reproved. See, last week we saw Habakkuk struggle with doubt. And as he struggled with doubt, instead of walking away from God, We get this great lesson from Habakkuk. Instead of walking away from God, he goes and he brings his questions and his doubts to God. And our God is big enough for our questions and our doubt. And we see here that Habakkuk, he clings to God in the midst of his doubts. Habakkuk 2:1 is the Old Testament equivalent of Mark 9:24, where it says, I do believe, help my unbelief. Have we ever been there? Have we ever been there, God? I know I believe, but God, I just don't believe. God, I know what you're saying is true, but God, is it true? God, I know that you say all things work together for good, but God, I can't see how this is working for good, but I want to believe. Have we been there? And this is where Habakkuk is in here, and he says, help my unbelief. I don't understand. I'm struggling. And he says, I'm going to stand on my guard post, and I'm going to keep watch, and I'm going to wait for God to answer. Although his questions are real, he knows that there's an answer, and so he waits. And this is something that we all need to learn to do. When we have questions and doubts, we need to learn to bring them to God. And then we need to learn to stand firm and dig in and wait for God to answer. And know, as God's going to respond here in a minute, that God is going to answer in his time. Man, that's hard for us. That God's going to answer in his time. And that means that God may not settle some of these questions that we have in our hearts until we stand before him in glory. That might be his time. And that's not something we want to hear, but we need to cling to God, knowing he's going to answer in his time. And we also know this, that while we are standing firm, that we have a God who will never leave us. That he will never leave us. He will give us the faith to carry on. And so Habakkuk, he takes his stand on the watchtower and he says, I'm going to wait for God to answer. And then God speaks to him in verse 2, and the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. So God answers Habakkuk, and he gives him a little vision of what's going to happen in the future. The Chaldeans, they will be judged for their sin. And in the meantime, Habakkuk is to live by faith. That's such an easy thing. Live by faith. Right? We can just throw that out there. What's the answer? Live by faith. And we all know how simple that is. But man, how hard is that? How hard is that? To know that we live by faith, and we know that answer is so simple and true. But when we have to do it, how difficult it is. Habakkuk is told by God, he says, write this down. He says, there will be a time when what I'm saying, what I'm telling you, there will be a time when it's going to take place. Now, it's not going to happen right away, Habakkuk. This isn't going to happen near, but wait for its fulfillment, and it's going to happen in God's perfect timing. God's words were certain. The fulfillment of his promises will never be too early or too late. And God assures Habakkuk, he says, the Chaldeans' actions, as evil as they are not justified in God's sight. Although God says, yes, I am using the Chaldeans to bring judgment on Judah and the nations, it doesn't excuse their sin, and they will be punished for their sin. God tells it back to the Chaldeans, they're going to be judged, but understand the judgment comes in God's timing. And so often we want things in our timing, right? We want things in our timing. We see the evil in the world. God, deal with it right now. Right now. God, I know that you have a sovereign plan, but God, understand my plan. I want it done now. And God says, wait for my timing. And we're going to see next week where God is going to explain to Habakkuk exactly what he's going to do. He's going to list out the sins of the Chaldeans, and he's going to share with him exactly what judgments are coming. And next week might be a little uncomfortable as we look at maybe some of the sins in our life and God's response to that. But God here is assuring Habakkuk that he is sovereign, he is holy, and he is just. And we can know this too.
So we look around our world and it appears that evil is winning. It appears that our world is more and more evil, and somehow we think that God is losing, but we can know that God is in control and God will judge sin. Meanwhile, at the end of that last verse we read, meanwhile, God says, the righteous will live by faith, trusting God to act in his own time. This verse, the righteous will live by faith, it's one of the most important concepts in the Bible. It's quoted three times in the New Testament, in Romans 1, in Galatians 3, and in Hebrews 10. This is what truly enables us to answer the question of God's fairness. For Habakkuk, this verse meant that he should live by faith as he waited for God's righteous judgment to fall on the Chaldeans. He knew that all this was going on. I have to wait. And as I wait, my job is to live by faith, to walk by faith. You know, why would Judah live and not die? Why was it that God was not going to completely destroy Judah? Was it because that Judah really, okay, God, I know I see the wickedness, but now that I see the Chaldeans, really we're pretty good, and so we're going to be okay because we're really good compared. No, absolutely not. Not a chance. The Israelites here, the people of Judah, they deserve to be wiped out. They deserve to be gone. But they lived by faith because they were part of God's covenant. They had faith in him. And the full implication of this is seen through the gospel of Jesus. The gospel, the good news that we have spent time talking about, is that even though that we are sinners, even though we are deserving of punishment for our sin, Jesus died on a cross. And he took the punishment of our sin that we might be forgiven of our sin. This is what we see when Paul is writing to the Romans. In Romans chapter 1, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous one will live by faith. And so what happens here is Paul, as he's writing this, he's quoting what we just read in Habakkuk. That Jesus gives us forgiveness when we put our faith in him and our trust in him. Through his death on a cross, not our own works, we have this faith. And just as Habakkuk put his faith in God and his love in God and his faithfulness in him. See, without salvation, we will never grasp God's fairness. We will never understand this without a relationship with God. We will always ask that question, is God fair? If we don't know God, we can't understand his fairness because we don't live by faith. And friends, as believers, if we're not walking closely with God, we're in danger of questioning the fairness and faithfulness of God. We need to walk with him every day. As we look at this passage, we need to be reminded of some truths about God and some truths about us from this passage. Friends, we need to know that God is sovereign. That God is active in the affairs of history. That God uses nations to bring about his will, whether those nations acknowledge him or they don't. This is good to remember when we look at the conflict in our world today and sometimes we look around and say, God, I don't understand what's happening today. I don't get it. And we may never get it, but we do know this, that nothing is happening outside of God's control. We need to have faith in that, that he will use things for his glory. We need to know that God is holy. Understand that God cannot tolerate anything that is wrong. His eyes are too pure to even look upon evil. And because God is holy, we should strive to be holy in all that we do. We need to be assured here this morning that God is just, that he will judge all evil in the world, including those who he has used to judge others. When we look around the evil of the world, be assured that God will take care of it, that God is just and he will deal with it in a right way. And we don't have to worry about whether or not someone is going to be treated unfairly, that the wicked may seem like they are thriving, but they have to answer to God. And we need to understand something else, that every one of us are sinners and deserve condemnation. and we compare ourselves, but compare to a holy God, and we are all the same. We are all sinners deserving of condemnation. And we know that we cannot save ourselves. Too many people are deceived in the thing that they will go to heaven because somehow they're good enough. You know, we're good at doing this, right? We can look at our sin, we can say, well, at least I'm not bad as that person. And no matter how bad our sin is, we can always find somebody who has more sin than us. What we never do is you never compare ourselves to people that are better than us, right? We never say, well, you know, I may be a sinner, but, oh, wait, I'm a horrible sinner. No, we usually say, well, at least I'm not as bad as someone else. We compare to that, to someone else. As believers, understand, man, we're not good. And the only good that we do is because of the grace of God and our love for Jesus. Our deeds do us no favor, only by faith in him. The righteous will live by faith. It's only through faith that we can be made right in a relationship with God and know eternal life and not have eternal condemnation. Many times people look at the evil in the world and think, man, God doesn't care. And then they learn that God's going to judge their own sin. And they say, well, that's not fair. Why would a loving God judge me for my sin? But here's the truth. God does care about you. God does care, and God is fair. And God's loving care and his perfect justice come together at the cross. Jesus died on a cross for our sins so that if we put our faith in him, that we can be saved. Putting our faith in Christ and receiving the righteousness that he has because God tells us the righteous shall live by faith. This is true of a saving faith, and it's true of the faith that takes us to walk through life every day, trusting in the goodness of God. Really, there are probably a couple of groups of people here this morning. There are those here this morning that are struggling with the question, does God care and is God fair? There are those that look around and they look at the things in the world and they say, I just don't see God's hand in this. How do I know that God is care? How do I know that he's fair? And there are those this morning that need to heed the words of Habakkuk and dig in and seek God for answers. And there's a second group of people here today that maybe you know that God cares and you know that God is fair. And here's a second group. You know people who are struggling because they're in the first group. You see, we have a world of people that don't understand the goodness of God. And we have a world of people that are looking through this world through their own eyes. And they can't make any sense of it. And here we are, people who live and walk by faith. And we need to invest in people's lives, to do the dirty work and build relationships with people and point them to a holy God who offers salvation.